see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yes, open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up,
shining in the light.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
High and lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory. Worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy,
I want to see you.
Amen and amen. You know, anybody that's ever wanted to see God, he's always made an opportunity for them to see him in one form or another. Amen. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures where we've been reading from Revelation 1, and 1 through 3. Glad to have our visitors back there with us. And we always say when you come one time here, you're a visitor. You get welcomed. You come back a second time, you're just part of us. So don't expect a welcome on the second time. We just have that way. We don't have anything to join, anything to be, except the part of the body of Christ that we are or where we're at. Amen. We had a wonderful time. I know everybody's telling you about it. At the fishing and everything, had a great time. Everything went so good and so wonderful. Everything's right in order and a great time in doing it. Just really, you know, the kids, we had a great time with them getting them to fishing. And, you know, they got to catching fish, and we brought back a good many fish. And it was the Lord made it where that there wasn't a lot of people there. It's generally crowded, especially by Friday, but you know, we had the place to ourselves for a while, and we really had a lot of fun doing and everything. And I don't know where Sister Esther is. We found out, Sister, what Tony does while he's supposed to be working.
That's right.
we got to play in horseshoe, and he was able to beat everybody there by himself. And, you know, I don't know how he was doing it, but we was really having a good time. You know, everybody was, and it worked out real good. He'd just make one ringer right after the other one, and the rest of them that was throwing it, and we'd kid them about that you're supposed to stay at least within the campsite instead of rolling it out in the road. And Brother Hal Thomas, he decided to try it, and he'd throw it, and he'd go about three-quarters of the way. And I said, Brother Hal, you can qualify for handicap, so just move on down a little bit, you know, and toss the horseshoes. But we had a good time, everybody, and the kids, I think, had a good time, didn't you, kids? And catching some good fish and everything. I got little Nate there fishing for a while with him and had him catching some, and I walked off and left him, you know, and kind of doing with somebody else. And all at once, I heard a commotion and screaming and hollering. I think Brother Joe's got the video of it, but everybody was a hollering, and first thing I know, Robbie and Richard was dancing on the bank trying to get the fish in, and we had a real good time. It was a lot of fun, you know, and a lot of good eats, everything. It was wonderful. Thank everybody for what you've done, the cooking and the fixing and the doings, and we had just a great time. Amen. That we do that. Amen. Remember this morning, Brother Donnie Moore, that goes to Brother Richard Wilson. Do you remember he had open heart surgery the other day, and he's now running a little temperature. So that's not a good thing, you know, in that class. But just remember him, that everything will be all right. And we got a note now back. This was on the 14th when we received the note that Sister Janice Green, Brother Perry Green's wife, was having a lot of trouble with nose bleeding, but there wasn't anything updated today on it. That was the 12th, I think. No, 15th. Got to 15th, I think. All right, but just remember her and pray that the Lord would take care of everything. All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for everything. Thank you for your grace and your understanding. Thank you for you. And we just pray now that you would come among us and, Lord, not be an onlooker to what we're doing and trying to say, but to be the preeminent one in each one of our hearts and lives. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us and keep us, Lord, from all unrighteousness. And just bless us now as we read your word and we talk about you and you come among us and speak to our hearts. Have your way. Remember these that are sick. Lord, remember Sister Green there, Lord, their request for her. We pray that you would just reach down and touch and deliver her from that nosebleeding condition. Let everything be all right. We love you and be with Brother Donnie Moore, Lord, and take away that temperature. Well, it's not a good thing in that situation, but we pray that you would just bless and guide each one. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1:1-3 that we've been reading as always on this part, and just trying to speak about the book of Revelations and to see, you know, that we can gain a little better understanding, and hope that the Lord has blessed you with it. I've enjoyed it anyway. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing for the reading of the word. Remember, the time is at hand, a time to understand. The time to understand is here with us, and we thank the Lord for that, and, you know, and believe that this is the hour that God has given unto us to where we can read the word and, you know, see it, but not to just see it as we have been seeing it. Remember, our whole thought is based upon one thing, that we were told to stay away from the book of Revelations because we couldn't understand it. But see, the devil didn't want us to read it to find out who we are, because it shows who we are and where we're at and what's going on and everything. But it took a prophet to come. So then thank God that the prophet came, brought the message, broke the symbols, and spoke to us on these things. Now we can see ourselves. And then seeing ourselves, then we can, be able to rejoice in the reading of the word. And it's like I've said to you many times, to me then the book of Revelation is really the bride's book, because it brings it personal here. Peter could say, I have a more sure word of prophecy, because he had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he had been up on the mountain and he had a more sure word by the new birth. Well, see, we can say that we have a more sure word of prophecy because, prophecy is setting in order of Scripture, so we have a wonderful opportunity to be able to rejoice in the word and see who we are. And Brother Brown said, when the bride realizes who she is, she'll be gone. Yeah, she'll be gone. So that's just what we need to do, realize who we are and sit back and relax and have a good time in doing it, you know, and see our day. Because remember, he said, Arma Neville's not written in the Bible, but said what's going on in the day that Arma Neville is upon the earth, and said that's put his name right in the word. Well, all right. See, then, you know, we rejoice in seeing the word unfold unto us. All right. Now, we've covered up to, and we're over now to, starting in Revelations 4, and, you know, we went through the Revelations 1, bypassed the church ages because they are self-explanatory, basically, and then getting over into the rapture taking place in Revelations 4:1. John went up as a type, and then from Revelations 4:1 or 4 there to 19, the bride is not seen. See, because she's up in heaven. See, then you, as I said, and I've covered it and I review it a lot. See, you say then, well, what about Revelation 10:7? Well, what about it? You better leave it where it's at. Because if you don't leave it where it's at, you won't have anything to go to Israel. You know, because from 4 to 19, brought around and said, it's to Israel. All right? So they get this message. See? They get this message, a wonderful thing. See, but John says, but in the days. So he looks back and he sees that, hey, there's an opportunity for me to take this back to the seventh, to the church ages, because he were told to write it to the ages. He wasn't told to write it to the book to Roman, you know, I mean to Rome. He was told to write it to the church ages. You know, and then when he did, then he says, there's a prophet that can be brought. So it doesn't move anything. You don't have to change anything in the Word. It's perfect. We just believe it and see it. And just because we know what's going on doesn't mean that we're there. That's the wonderful part of it. We can stand here in a time element, things, and see things that'll be on pace when we will actually even go into a rapture and leave out of here and see the things of what's happening on earth, because God is not withholding anything from His bride. He's allowing her to see the Word of God or understand the Word of God. All right. But then we got down to this last Wednesday, speaking on there in Revelations 4:1-2, that it was speaking of the throne in heaven. But we saw that that throne had to start on earth in Jesus Christ. All right? Then he could go up into heaven, another dimension, or whatever you want to call it, and remain there sitting on the throne. And it was his Father's throne, because he said, if you overcome, you'll sit with me in my throne, as I've overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. See, that was not the throne of Jesus Christ. That'll be in the millennial reign when it comes down to the throne of Jesus Christ, you know, the promise of the Son of Man and the Son of David finishing in it. And see, then it winds up that the one sitting on the throne is the very eternal Almighty God. So we believe in one true and living God, not... This is one person and that's another person. No. There's just one sitting on the throne. But the throne represented the point of where that Jesus Christ was on the earth. That was the throne of God, was in the heart of Jesus Christ. Yes. All right. Then he went up on and, you know, ascended and sent the Holy Ghost back on the day of Pentecost, setting up the throne of God in the heart of man by the new birth. All right. Now, when this matches here, then what is there, then we're going to have to go there. I mean, it's not a horrible point or a thought or something that can't be comprehended. When we match here what God sees, we're going there. That's where else can you go? You know. So then the throne represented in the heart of mankind, but there was one sitting on the throne. All right. And I kept trying to emphasize to us that we say, oh, but Brother Dale, when I've got the new birth, I understood and I just saw one God. No, you don't do it. Ain't exactly that away. You see one God when the prophet brought the word to us. You know, and then we understand it because he brought it. Sure, I was back there in the Baptist believing in one God and would argue you to death, but I only knew how to explain it as God in three persons. See, because that was what we thought the truth was. All right, but we know that's not true. Person's personality, personality is an individual, etc. So then we were Trinitarian just like everybody else. All right, but then when we saw the truth, then God is brought to the throne of your heart by revelation, or stature of a perfect man, whatever you want to call it, the basis. By revelation, he comes to our throne. We had him dethroned down through the ages. All right? He was off the throne of man. Not that he didn't save people, not that he wasn't living in their heart, but he wasn't in their revelation because they were Trinitarians. All right? But see, now we see that he can be restored to the throne. So if we don't see, but if we see that there's more than one sitting on the throne, we still don't have the revelation. All right? And if we get into all of these You know, he wouldn't go out to the River Jordan or two lords or whatever these things are. Then you got too many gods sitting on the throne. So then, you know, we need to work on that. And it's kind of like a man told me at work one day. He said, I thought you believed in three gods, but I see now you don't. Said, you really believe in two. And I said, well, at least we got rid of one of them. And so let's keep on going, you know. But see, it's a revelation is what we're looking at. But if it don't start in our hearts on earth, in the new birth, then there is no heaven for us to go to. All right? See, but it starts there, and then it builds here exactly the same scene, if you want to call it, the same picture, whatever you want to call it, that's in heaven will be here on earth. All right. But Brother Brown said, it's got to be the same ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. See, then you say, well, I just don't see that. Well, open your eyes. You're looking for something that will never happen. You're looking for somebody to be able to do what Brother Branham done. That was in one man. But now I believe that in the bride of Christ around the world is the ministry and manifestation of God that was in Brother Branham and in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was the same ministry. But it's got to be around the world. So we only have our part. It can't be in the fullness in one person anymore. And that's why I don't look for another prophet to come, see, to try to bring it. It's because it's already been brought by the prophet. We need the Holy Ghost to reveal it to us. All right, now, are you following what I'm talking about then? See, then, Jesus Christ, when he came, he paid the price, he ascended, and he went to the Father's throne. All right, now, you know, we get into all of that of saying he went up there and the Holy Ghost come back. We'll read that in a second, you know. Well, that's wonderful. That's what happened. But don't get it in your mind that there's a dead body laying on the throne, waiting on something to happen. I thought he was building us a future home. You know, that's what I thought. I mean, I don't. But see, we try to limit to our comprehension. Revelation has nothing to do with comprehension. Now, that may sound odd, but it doesn't. You don't comprehend a revelation. A revelation comes, and that is the comprehension itself. You don't work it up or think it up or plan it up or study it up or whatever it is. You do all of that to get a foundation where God can speak to you. But if he don't speak, it's still just intellect. And in a letter, Paul said, a letter killeth. All right. But see, we got that far then to looking at the throne in heaven and the one sitting on the throne. All right. Now, then we tied it back. So I want you to watch this in a little while when we get down to the rainbow. And I mean, not the rainbow. That'll be this afternoon. The beginning and the ending and all like that. And watch it all tie together as to one thing. And some surprises that Brother Branham will actually make statements that sounds like that are, if you try to do it naturally, you'll never figure it out. Right. But if we take the spiritual application, we can see it. All right. So remember this as we're going in, because this is the help. That throne is now in the heart of man by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that does not do away with the throne in heaven. All right. The corporal body is not here. All right. So somewhere, the corporal body, the glorified body, we're reading them in, is waiting for something here to happen to be able to come, and he still doesn't set foot on earth, even though we meet him in the air. He don't set on foot on earth until the millennial reign with the bride. But see, that's what we try to get it all figured out. You can't do it. You study, you pray, and you ask God to reveal. And that's why Brother Branham would say, I wouldn't preach on hell until it's revealed. I've studied things for 20 years, 30 years, would not preach on it. Why? Because I couldn't see it. I could give you every quote. I could give you every scripture. I could have made an intellectual speech. I could give you my opinion. But what good is an opinion? I'd rather have a man with a revelation than all opinions in the world. All right, what is to say in a shortest pencil is better than the longest memory? Because you can write down things and keep it. All right. But now let's think about it. A throne sitting in heaven, and I want to just make this clear as we go into it. Well, go ahead, Brother Anderson. And by the way, Brother Anderson got back. We didn't feed him to the virus. We didn't even see anything. We didn't see one this time. We didn't have any trouble whatsoever. And he made it back. He had a good time. But seeing some of these that go out and, you know, in New Orleans and all, and some come and be with us that hadn't before, that's really great. Brother Joe Solis has got the record on the fish. Okay, but it's the smallest one, but... He's got the record. They said, well, can you cook them? No, but you grease the pan with it, you know. You do that. Okay. Had a good time. Okay. Look what the prophet has to say on the message called Faith, 1956, 427, paragraph, or E47. Christ died. He became a man. See, he's backward in his statement, but he's talking. He became a man. See, all right. He took our sins upon himself and went there and was nailed to the cross, and his soul was rent from him and cast into hell. And God raised him up on the third day for our justification and sent the Holy Ghost back to us and the glorified body of his Son sitting on his throne in heaven. Watch what a type it is there. The glorified body sitting on the throne. So you've got to deal with that body. It's got to be somewhere. There's got to be a heaven. And that's my emphasis, because I've heard it preached, you know, that the people of the message have become so spiritual until they just do away with everything. We are the throne of God. There is no throne in heaven. Where did he get that from? He didn't get it out of the Bible. Didn't get it out of the prophet's message. But he must have got it out of Walmart as you're walking around. But listen, church, there's a heaven to go to. But what we found the key was, we may go up there, but one day heaven's going to leave there and come down here. All right? It's going to be a wonderful day, isn't it? All right, but look at what he says now. The glorified body of his Son is sitting on his throne. Right? What a wonderful position. Sitting on the throne. All right. Now listen. If it's true that the glorified body is sitting on the throne, then why would we want to comprehend three gods or anything, you know? Why not try to comprehend the truth? You understand the truth, you know? Well, when we get up out of heaven, is it going to be a Son and a Father and a Holy Ghost and, you know? Or is it going to be Jesus? What's it going to be? Well, your oneness. Well, that's all right. I can at least preach from Genesis to Revelation about it. And I can see him in many forms reveal himself. But you'll never get a oneness to bring the life form of God on earth to the bride. Go find out. Ask him. No, Jesus was the life form of God to a oneness. No, sir. The bride is the life form of God on the earth. She's the final voice to the final age. All right. But it's Christ in her. Because that's how the throne comes forth. That's how we become the throne of God. I by myself cannot be the throne of God. See? It takes all the bride of Christ around the world to match that he's sitting there. I can only speak of it. John, listen. John only typed the rapture, right? Why did he type it? Because nobody else didn't go. The rapture didn't come right there. Is that sensible? So he was a type of it. He went over, but he come back. All right. See, I just got my part. And my part is speaking of what's on the throne. But you got to have your part. See, we got to have it all together, right? So keep that in mind. Look at the next one. All right. This is the message called discernment, discerning of the body of the Lord, 1958, page 19. The great light, the pillar of fire, he's the same one today. And the Holy Spirit of God, the body of Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God on his throne in heaven, but his spirit is here on earth completing and finishing his work. Remember Brother Brown said, Jesus did not complete his work when he was here on earth. He said he left something for us to do. Right? Something for us to do. All right? Now, and that same spirit that lived in the body of Jesus Christ was the same spirit that was in that angel that come to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because there's only one God. Do you believe that? The same one that followed the children of Israel, the same God. Huh? Many forms, many ways of appearing, but the same God. They're all the time. Look at the next one. We'll try to get these three readings out, and then we'll go. Jehovah Jireh, part 1, 62705, paragraph 166. And God was showing there to Abraham that through his seed, that God himself would become flesh and then have to be separated at Calvary. And what about showing this to there in Abraham? Typing it. All of that was back there. Where do we get this afternoon of the 24 elders? All right. Christ being God on earth, he was separated. God tore him apart, the royal seed of Abraham, and took the life out of him and raised up the body. Up to sit on his throne in heaven and sent back the spirit of him upon the church. That the church has to have the same spirit was in Christ to make it come together, making Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what I love. Confirmation of the covenant, God confirming the covenant, God separating, tearing the life from Christ, his son, taking the spirit out of him as he cut these animals in two, standing between the animals. You remember what happened to Abraham? You know, that he went to sleep, he saw the thing, he saw hell, he saw what was, but he saw the light, he saw all the things. All right? See, then, if there's only one sitting on the throne, why do we want to think of comprehensions of anything, of understanding of some form of Trinitarianism or any kind of isms? When we've got the truth about it. Get over in the church age book, and I had it the other day and I didn't read it, where Brother Brown said that how many's on the throne? He said one on the throne. It can't be anything else. But now remember, then I'm asking you a question, then we'll get off and go on. The throne that Jesus Christ went to was the throne of the Father, right? Right. That's Father's throne. We gave you them the other night. All right. Now, where's the Father now? If Jesus and the Father is not the same God. Well, Brother Dale, you just don't understand. The Son's up there and the Father came back down here. Well, according to my Bible, Jesus said, I and my Father will come back and we'll take up our abode in you. So where's the Father at? As the prophet asked the question of, if all power in heaven and earth, Jesus said, after his resurrection given unto me, he said, then if you got another God, said he's powerless. That was a simple statement, wasn't it? But a gospel truth. So if you got any form in your mind of thinking of these other doctrines that are floating around, then I would consider the truth of trying to find the one true and living God in the correct way. And try to get that one on the throne. Because what are we going to match? You remember Matching Pieces 10 years ago? Something like that. Series on it. Matching Pieces. If we don't match, if we're not matching here what's there, we're not going there. But when we match what's there, we have to go there. When Martin Luther reached what God saw that he would reach, there was nowhere else for him to go. Sure, he hung around a little while and preached on the just shall live by faith. But he had to leave. Why? Because God was through with him. But he ain't going to be through with us. He's going to be here in us in his fullness to take us there when it's a matching. So where's the Father? That's what I was trying to illustrate a moment ago. See, then the throne was made possible into our hearts. So it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Living in your heart by the new birth. And that matches what's in heaven. Because there's just one sitting up there. And that's Jesus Christ. See, now you got your one true living God in the correct order. You're not just talking about Jesus the body. Anybody knows that can read the body of Jesus Christ was a creation. Which meant it wasn't eternal. That's where it had to be made eternal in the resurrection. But now we have an eternal body laying on the throne. Now if the blood of bulls and goats, people could be healed. What about an eternal sacrifice? A glorified sacrifice. Oh, I love them parts. All right. Now, let's go over and read a little bit in Revelation 4 now and pick up our thought and continue on. So we've been down through verse 1 and covering that. And then in verse 2 he said, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Okay, we've covered that coming down. And now watch. And he that sat was to look upon. Now, he is a personal pronoun, right? So there has to be someone sitting there. And he that sat was to look upon. Now, it doesn't say he's jasper and sardis and stone. It's not stone, it's symbolics, right? John looks and sees the throne. He sees the one sitting on the throne. All right? Now, see, and the one sitting on the throne was the one to try to help him just understand, you know, I'll show you things to come. All right, he looks and he sees the throne, like I told you. He sees it in stages. He sees the throne. He could have stopped, wrote the book, sent it down to the church. Then he could have continued it and said, hey, there's one on the throne. See? Because it was unfolding to John. All right, keep it unfolding as you're looking. Now, when he looks, the one on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All right? But he's to look upon. That's the symbolic. He's to look upon. What as what now? As a jasper and sardis stone. Now on your computers, if you start trying to run it in, I'll give you a little help. Some of you, if you're running in, don't run in sardine. Let me pronounce it the way I read it sometimes. Don't read sardine stone. Don't do that and run it and run around. He always called it sardis. Because you run into sardine, you're only going to get the quote that comes in the scripture. He doesn't use it that way. He's just more or less breaking the word down. But that's just to help you. But look, a throne was set in heaven and one sat on a throne. Now how does this person, the he, remember? One sat on, and he. How does this person look? Now John is going to see a symbolics. He knows who it is. But he's going to see a symbolics or a symbol. So he's to look upon. Now, forgive me for trying to explain something when maybe sometimes it shouldn't need to be, or just go and forget it. But I always like to help everybody if I can. God, I like to be helped myself. And he's to look upon. He's described as, now watch, from where he came. I'll let that float a little bit. The symbolics is describing from where he came. You know the reason that Abraham is called a Hebrew? I mean, it's not a tribe. It's not a something. It was a word that meant one from the other side of the river. So the man sees Abraham coming, walking across the river. He said, "Hey, Abraham, you're a Hebrew." There wasn't no words back there of Hebrew and stuff like that, Jews and things. That didn't come on until over in 2 Kings, even the word Jew. See? But then what's so amazing to me is the Bible said, "I brought your father Abraham from the other side of the flood." He did come from over on the other side of the big river, didn't he? But that's what it means. Hebrew means one from the other side. Where you come from? You come from the other side over to here. That means you're a Hebrew. The man didn't say, "Abraham, a Hebrew." He said, "Abraham, you come from the other side of the river." Well, when they wrote it down, they wrote Abraham, Hebrew. See, because that was the word interpreted from the other side. All right? So that's what it's saying here. It's telling you of jasper and sardine stone. That's where this man come from. That would be his origin or beginning. See? So now what did John see? See, if you tried to draw, how could you draw that out? See, what do you just draw out a stone? No. See, now John understood. So who is jasper? And who's the sardine stone? And you'll see where he come from. Isn't that the first son of Jacob? And the last son of Jacob? Yeah. All right, we'll get to that this evening with the 24. Bring it up into that one. But think about it. Where this man come from? This man came that he's seeing. And he looks at him and he says, "There sits a man." He said, "Let me describe him." That he's a jasper and a sardine stone. See, showing that he was what was in Jacob. The promise coming down, right? Are you listening? All right. Get these little things in your mind and just think. That's why, to me, it's so wonderful. We just read, "Jasper." Well, I know what that is. That's Reuben and Benjamin. Well, we're glad we got that straight. No, that's where this man came from. And I don't care how horrible you think about Reuben. Wasn't Reuben the one that slept with his father's concubine? Wasn't Reuben and them the one that Reuben that tried then later to make amends, I guess, and tried to save Joseph, you know? And they wound up selling him instead of killing him, and, you know, all the things. All right. But get the point. This man, this one sitting on the throne, is to look upon. A description of him. All right? Now, a description of him. So we're going to approach it just a little different than you generally would. So let's just go ahead with number 4, brother, because I want you to get this point with it. But remember now, we'll get to the rainbow around about the throne in a minute. So we're going to talk about Alpha and Omega, because that's what jasper and sardine was, the beginning and the ending of Jacob's children. All right, we'll get back to that in a minute, Lord willing, tie it together. But I want you to see this. Because when once we start reading in a minute, now listen, you're going to hear Brother Branham relating to the rainbow and relating to the A to the Z. Then you're going to hear him relating the rainbow And you're going to hear him relating to the church. See, we just want to come up and get up on the throne and sit down. And it ain't too good of a place. It sure take a big old throne for all of the bride down through all the ages to sit on. See, then all we want in the rainbow. Well, all rainbow, this means all the way around. Well, you're going to see something this evening from it. And when you see those 24 elders, they're around the throne. That's why the throne in heaven can be seen totally in circumference. While we're here on earth, you only see half of a rainbow. You can't see it down through the earth, come back around. Now, if you look up in the sky sometime, that means you've ever seen a rainbow around the sun. You're seeing it around about doing that because it's showing because it's up in heaven. But watch now. He's talking about Alpha and Omega, and I know that's back over in Revelation like 1:8 or whatever it is. Now, Alpha is the A in the Greek letter. Omega is the Z in the Greek letter. In other words, if it was translated today, I am A to Z. And watch it. Now, who else is this? Now, he's putting back scriptures with it. See, watch him. I am the first. I am the last. I am from A to Z. All right? We'll get down to one in a minute, and then get down to what people are doing in the message with it and missing it. Go on to the next one, number 5. This is taken from Patmos Vision, 12:4, evening service, 1960, paragraph 143. He hears the trumpets and things, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Not announcing of the second party or the third party, but the only party. I am both Alpha and Omega. See, I've heard people say, Jesus was Alpha, we Omega. That's you're getting close. But remember, when you we a lot, you get a problem there. If you got the Alpha and the Omega, you're in the correct order. All right? But if you just got an Alpha and Omega, you got us two people. So he'd be one, we'd be one. You got a problem. All right, come on. And watch what he says. Before I show you, he's the only party. Before I show you anything, I want you to know who I am. Now, that's what Jesus wanted them to know. So I drop them down. The greatest revelation is revelation of the Godhead, the deity, right? The first thing you have to know is the deity of Christ. I am Alpha and Omega. I am from A to Z. There's no more but me. I like that. I was at the beginning, watch, I'll be at the end, I am he that was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty, think of it. That's what the trumpet said. Now, in the message there is a doctrine of some people that used to preach it pretty heavily. I haven't heard it lately, but they'd say, see there, said he's Alpha and he's Omega and he's nothing in between. Well, there's a quote. We've got it. But their point was that he was Alpha and Omega, and I've heard it. So I don't mind standing here saying it. He said it right here. The man years ago said he's Alpha and he's Omega and said he said nothing in between. Said, see there, Luther and Wesley and them didn't have nothing. That's what he said. That'll be met in glory if anybody wants to argue it, but I heard the man say it. Now, his emphasis was that Luther and Wesley and him didn't have anything. And Pentecost, you know, Zeus Street. And see, then he used this quote right here. So go ahead and pull it up. Look, number 6. Taken from the masterpiece. Go ahead to the next one. Okay. The masterpiece, 705 1964, paragraph 172, 173. The Alpha and Omega is the same. Watch him. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between. Direct quote. Uh-huh. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Yes, sir. Well, brother said it. Did what Brother Brown said? Did he? See, if he's Alpha and Omega, that's what I'm saying. If he's Alpha and we're Omega, you got a problem because you got two people. But if he's Alpha and Omega, there is nothing in between. There's not another God to be revealed. There's nothing in between there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Luther and Wesley and them had the new birth for their age. So that was the emphasis the brother made, that preached here on it. I've heard others beside him preach on it. Their emphasis was trying to make it that somebody didn't have something. Now, if you read that in what Brother Brown was saying, you know, he never said anything in between. That's right. Because there's not another God in between. He didn't say there ain't nothing in between. He's saying it. See, the first ministry. Now, what's he talking about? The first ministry and the last ministry. That's what he's talking about. Okay, we're right now. We know what we're talking about. The first ministry was the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it in the early church. Yes, the Alpha. Bring it back in the end time through the prophet's ministry. You got the same ministry Jesus Christ had. Now, down through there, they had the ministry of Christ, but not into manifestation through the opening of the Word as it is in the Alpha and the Omega. So he's right. So, all right. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the second last message is the same. I was in Alpha. I'm in Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day nor night, but in the evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega, it's become the first and the last. Oh my, brethren, we come to stay for hours. Do you understand then? He's not saying that there's nothing down between there. Because you better get some of your drawings correctly if you're going to try to draw something. Because according to my understanding, reading in Revelation 1:13, this Son of Man, it said, one like unto the Son of Man, said he's standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, if we're going to interpret words, midst means middle. But if you're going to interpret that wrongly, you'll put him more in the dark ages than he is here, which he was as far as giving his life in the church, but not in the message-wise. Everybody understand? You say, well, that's we don't understand that. That's not vital. Why is it not vital? I just covered about three things that shows you where it's very vital to understand. Because if you think that Luther and Wesley didn't have anything, where is your foundation to stand on? And if you draw out the candlesticks that you're looking at right here in the bottom of the pulpit part, and if he's in the midst, that means he's in the middle. All right. Now you know what that means. If he's Hebrews 13:8, he's the same in every church age. That's why it means missed. He's in every church age. Right? Now, see, that way then we can come out with understanding to where we can see that the first ministry and the last ministry is the same. Get the next one, then we'll go to our point. The Philadelphian Church Age, 1210, 1960, paragraph 135. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. In other words, I'll be supreme in the first. Watch it. I'll be supreme in the last. Wonderful. His ministry was there. His ministry here. Wonderful. As long as you don't do away with what's in the middle. Huh? The same gospel power that raised up here on the one hand at the east has shown over and now in the other hand at the west, Alpha and Omega. I am A and I am Z. He's all of it, right? So then that brings Christ into correct understanding. And it restores him to the throne of your revelation. Brings him back to the position of seeing it as your revelation. All right? Now we drop to where we want to take the point, and that's what I hope that'll help you to see, because in our revelation that we were just reading, he said, I am the what? Was to look upon, verse 3. And he that was set was to look upon, he that set was to look upon, like jasper and sardine stone. All right? First son of Jacob, last son of Jacob. Now Joseph is in there, right? Next to the last one. And Joseph is more of a perfect type of Christ, right? He was more of the covenant type. He received a coat of many colors from his father, see, showing that he was a covenant one. All right? But see, he came from that. Jesus Christ came through all of those prophets. We're watching now. We'll get back to seeing and pick this up more. All those prophets was Christ. And Brother Branham ties together. He said even them patriarchs. As bad as you want to read, they done it. You can't get much worse than Abraham lying and giving his wife away a couple of times or whatever, you know. And then Isaac coming along, beating his daddy and doing the same thing. You can't put it on any kind of lineage like that. You're putting it on the spiritual lineage that was in representation to come down through those. Joseph was not Jesus Christ. He was only used as a type of Christ. Right. He was given the coat of many colors. He was raised up and done, but he had a flaw, remember? He told his daddy, he said, them Egyptians don't like sheep herders. And when you get down there, he said, you tell them you're a herder. You know, cattle. Let them think you're a cattle herder. Well, they ought to have been able to herd a blatant of the sheep that's coming over the hills, but, you know. But listen, jasper and sardine stone. All right. Go ahead and pull up number 8, brother. Remember the point now. This is where the one on the throne is coming from. The covenant, the promise. And there he was standing there, what? And he was to look upon his jasper and sardis stone. What was jasper? Was Reuben stone. What was sardis? Benjamin. The Reuben was the jasper. Sardis was the Benjamin. The first and the last. He was to look upon as the first and the last. And a rainbow around his head. Somebody read that next part. Now, that's not mentioned in the word Revelation 4. It's not mentioned in Revelation 4 about the seven golden candlesticks. What is your prophet doing? Come on, he's showing how it all ties together. Listen, church. If you see one little flicker of understanding of Jesus Christ and really believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, you have the capability of understanding all the whole pillar of fire if you just got a little flicker. Because if you can see a little flicker, you can see the whole thing. Now, Brother Branham, it's not in Revelation 4, right? The candlestick's not in Revelation 4. But he's reading it just like it's in Revelation 4. He's putting the rainbow in the church. Come on, read it with me. See? Was Reuben stone? Jasper? Well, was Sardis stone? Benjamin? The first and the last. He would look upon it as the first and the last. And a rainbow, that's in the scripture there, verse we read, around his head over the seven golden candlesticks. So you know what? I give you another key, Revelation 5 coming up, key number 92. Okay? Evidently somebody else is on that throne. No, you just spent time telling us there ain't but one there. I agree with you. Let's see if you agree with me. If the bride sitting on that throne is any difference in him and her, remember, we become the throne of God down here to be able to go there. So who's going to be sitting on the throne? You see him, you see her. If you see her, you see him. Watch that as we go along reading some of the quotes. And a rainbow, a covenant that God had made through Abraham. That's back in the Old Testament. Through Isaac, through Christ, through the church. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the robe of the seven colors that was upon Joseph, that was upon Jesus, is upon the church today to protect. All right? Now watch him. Keep tying these together. Look at the next one. This is from Lord, show us the Father and it suffices to us. 53907A. E52. Then I happened to think he was out. I forgot what it was looking this morning, what he was doing. He was out by himself somewhere hunting. And he saw the rainbow, you know, and the, you remember the squirrel and the chip and all, I think it was in that part. But he saw the rainbow. And I happened to think again that when John on the Isle of Patmos turned around and seen this, seen Jesus sitting there to look upon as a rainbow. His sardis and jasper stone, which was the Reuben and Benjamin, the first and the last, he which is and which is shall come, root and offspring of David, the morning star, and over him was a rainbow with the seven golden candlesticks, meaning that he had a covenant for the seven last church ages. Now, where did the Lamb come from to take the book from the throne? Really, Brother Brown's technically, because it says behind the throne. That's just the way I'm saying it. He walks around, takes the book from the hand of one sitting on the throne, climbs up and sits down. That's a revelation. He said it becomes the one on the throne. The church, you think that I'm what I'm doing, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm on the Godhead. I've been on the Godhead for 40-something years. All of my preaching is on the Godhead. Whether it's marriage and divorce, serpent seed, things that are to be, matching pieces, I'm preaching on the Godhead. But I'm trying my best for you and I to see the Godhead correctly. And when we see it correctly, we're going to see who we are. Brother Brown said, quote, he is not complete without you. The bride, quote, is part of the mystery and must be revealed. That's what I'm trying to do. Show you where we're at and what we're doing. Okay. Look at the next one, number 10. Expectations, 54:220, paragraph 10. Excuse me, E35. O great Jehovah God, who looks down from the heaven, the God, gave us this rain and gave us this rainbow sign. I said, I can't see another rainbow sign in, I can see another rainbow sign in Revelation 2, but it's really Revelation 4. See, all right? Because of what he said, where Jesus sitting to look upon like jasper and sardine stone, Reuben and Benjamin, the first and the last, with a rainbow crossing the seven church ages, the colors, oh, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, he that was and which is and shall come, the root and offspring of David, the morning star sitting behind me, seven colors, God's covenant with the church that he wrote with Jesus Christ, his son, of a perfect redemption. So you're seeing the plan of redemption. Now remember that for this afternoon. We're seeing the plan of redemption as it unfolds. Right? Now, look at the next one. This is the seven church ages, reached in 1954, 512, paragraph 110. And he looked upon Jesus, had seven rainbow colors above him. He was in this, which was God's covenant. And he was standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And he was to look upon his jasper and sardis stone. Jasper was Reuben, and sardis stone was Benjamin. That was the first and the last of the patriarchs. That Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and the seven rainbow colors, seven church ages, the covenant with him, and the seven golden candlesticks with the seven stars. Oh, what a beautiful, oh, what a picture. If we get to it after a while, maybe the Lord willing, all right, and he covers Alpha and Omega. Who is he? What's this revelation of? Jesus Christ. Watch. And here, he's not a prophet. Here he is, the Almighty God manifested, the Alpha, Omega. I'm from A to Z. I'm he that was, which is, and shall come. I am the Almighty. Pretty clear, isn't it? No chance of controversy there. Lord, which was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty. Bringing him into understanding. Now, may I go back to my statement I've made every service? So in the book of Revelations, you do not see Jesus by himself. Show it to him in the Bible. You don't see him by himself. He's always with his bride, revealing himself in his bride. You know, my wife always get on to me, but I just made that away, and I'm sorry. I had to get out of it, and I'm honest. I'd be standing around talking to somebody, and I just didn't introduce her to my wife. I thought everybody knew it. You know, man. Started to pull a good one last night, give you a little wake-up thing. We went to eat, and when we fired up going around the table, well, I fired up sitting with Sister Johnny. Peggy on one side, Sister Johnny on the other one. You would have seen this guy over there. I laughed. I was sitting there laughing. This guy, he couldn't even eat. I just died and laughed. I told him, I said, started to reach over and say, hey, honey. You know, I mean, the guy is misunderstood. I really thought he was going to come over where we're at. You know, and I was going to say, sir, when he walked out, I said, oh, I want you to introduce you to my wife, Peggy, would you stand up? That's what I was going to do. But anyhow, I just, me, and she'd say, well, you don't want them to know who I am. I said, no, honey. And I conned a phrase, got in trouble with it. I said, when you got a thoroughbred horse, you don't have to brag on the horse. She said, now you're calling me a horse. See, I can't brag the right way. But, listen. I went to Jamaica years ago, and my wife, she knew I couldn't handle it, and that was the first time Brother Harris and I went in 93. And so she tagged all my clothes, but she didn't go with me. I don't give a hoot if it's brown and green. I don't bother me. And so she'd put a tag in, you know, day one shirt, tag, day one pants, day one tie, day one socks. So when I come to day one, I just didn't get my days mixed up. That's only, if I'd have got them mixed up, I'd have had a problem. But so this lady, I saw it, and I was doing something else with it, but some of you know the story, but I said, "Sister, that ain't all." I said, "You know what I got over there at Brother Brady's for in the morning when we leave out?" She said, "What?" I said, "A tag. It says going home shirt, going home pants, going home socks." Well, it wasn't long after the end that she went with me. And I told the same sister that was there, I said, "I don't have no tags in my socks and shirts and the pants." She looked at me. I said, "I brought the tiger." Hey, if anybody in this message don't know who my wife is and can't see it, there's something wrong anyway. But I've just made that away. I'm just sorry. But I'm trying my best to introduce her to everybody I see, you know. And because I do believe she's my wife. But if they can't look around and see her and me, you know, it wouldn't matter to me. She's this morning fixed. She's tired. She lays out my clothes. And I go in there and I say, "Brown socks." Of course, it's funny sometimes. We got blue stuff, you know, all laid out blue. And I say, "Brown socks." "No, blue." That's all right. Now you're awake enough for me to finish this little bit. All right. Now, listen. Did we get through with this one? Okay. Let's go on to the next one. Try to get, I think there's only a couple more. My point of emphasis is one thing. Remember what I'm trying to say. When you come to Revelations 4 there, that there's one sitting on the throne. What he's to look upon is jasper and sardis stone. See, the Alpha, the Omega. And then we read there, I didn't read the scripture, but we had it up. It's a rainbow round about the throne. Now that rainbow is a covenant. Right? Noah's day, a rainbow was given to show that the world would never be destroyed again with water. It was given a rainbow, a covenant. Anytime you want to do it, you take a water hose on a sunny day, you can make a rainbow. You ever done that? Just take a water hose and just fan it up in the air. There's a beautiful rainbow. Just turn it into the sun, and it's beautiful. You know, I just never have found a gold at the end of it. You know, we get up there and it goes around, maybe we can. But listen. Listen, church. Now, this great subject we had last night, which he's referring back. The first night before last was the church and the church ages. All right. How that we've seen Jesus standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks to look upon as jasper and sardis stone. It's not shown in there. Are you listening? He's putting together Revelations 1, 2, 3, 4. He's done, as I said a minute ago, went back in the Old Testament to pick up Abraham and them to see a rainbow, a covenant, which is Jesus Christ. And then when you do, you see the seven church ages and see them sitting right there with him. Now, I'd remember, too, this for later. If that lamb with seven horns and seven eyes is the right understanding, I know you're going to... Who's going to take the book? We might get into something on Revelation 5, right? To look upon as jasper and sardis on the beginning and the end, and Reuben, Benjamin and Reuben see the seven candlesticks, or seven lampstands, standing, and a rainbow over it was as a covenant, and how he was appeared. Now, how he appeared. See? That's how he appeared. And his voice was the voice of many waters. Right. Both Christ and the church speaking together. No wonder she's the final voice. Right. Covered over, holding, together with a golden girdle around about the breast, part of the church. Covered over, holding the gospel, holding the righteousness of Christ over the church. Standing on the bright foundation. Right. Yeah, we're referring to divine judgment. God poured out his divine judgment upon the Christ, and he suffered the innocent for the guilty. Art, are you following me? Rainbow means a covenant. So he's from the A to Z. I'm all of it now. Go ahead and we'll scan that one, 13. Seven church ages, 54:5-12. Look, voice of a trumpet saying to me, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first thing I want. He introduces here the I am the first and the last, the first thing. When the trumpet of God sounded out, he turned and he said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am from A to Z. I'm all of it now. Stand and listen to me for a while. The all of it is standing there. Now listen to me a while. I'm not saying redemption's over because I didn't start it. You didn't either, so we can't end it. But someday it will be. In the closing hours of this thing on earth, you can't hear this message from Billy Graham or Roberts. I'm not throwing off on them. You can't hear it in the Baptists and the Methodists. Because they've got too much faults inside of it, what they're bringing. You can only hear it from the true bride of Jesus Christ. But she will be the final voice. You can only hear it from her. Because him and her becomes one. Right? I thought we believed that we were his offspring. All right? You understand? Horizontally? Jump to 15 and let's cut off one and go on. This is Revelation chapter 4, number 2, 61, 0101, paragraph 183. What would it be? What would he do? Excuse me. Remember, he made it with the earth, his color. But now watch, this rainbow only horizontally just covers in a bow. One half the earth. That's all Noah's rainbow colored, just covered, just half the earth. It was an arch. That's all you can see. But when John saw him in his emerald color, he surrounded the throne of God. The half has never yet been told. Are you reading it? The half has never yet been told. Well, you don't see half of it. You don't see the rainbow part of it. But see, we can stand here and see enough to get there. All right? See, the earth just makes it an arch. It's just half of it. All right? Drop to the next one. Let's get it and get through. Thyatira and Church Age, because everybody knows this quote. Page 242, Church Age book. It is the morning star that is visible when the light of the sun commences to shine. When our son Jesus comes, there will be no further need of messengers. Listen to him. This is over there, not down here now. He will bring us his message of cheer himself. As he rules his kingdom and then we live in his presence, the light of the word will become brighter and brighter in our perfect day. We're just getting the half of it here. There'll be a message of cheer down through the endless ages when we get to the other side. We just won't have these carnalities or problems with sleepiness or anything. We will have Jesus Christ. that he can talk to us. He said there won't be no need of the messengers, Dyer. We need them here. All right? You remember years ago, someone was preaching Manifested Sons of God, and boy, they were just preaching away, and I mean people just rejoicing. We get over there. We get over there. We're going to have manifested sons when we get into the millennium and the thing. Well, I'm sorry. I just happened to listen to tapes and read, and I brought a quote one day that really offended a lot of them. You know, Brother Brown said, we don't need manifested sons in the millennium. He said, we need them now. We get over there, we don't need no messengers. He can give us his message of cheer himself. Be a wonderful day. What a time. Well, just keep in mind now till we get back this afternoon, that one sitting on the throne, I hope you begin to see that he's got company. He's got his bride. And then you can see where he come from. He come all the way from the Old Testament down to get to that throne. He just made a little whistle stop to pick up a bride. Oh, that rainbow's round about the throne. 7 golden candlesticks. Not even mentioned in Revelation 4:1, but a prophet could just preach it in there just like it's all there, because it is. It is. Come on, brother. Musicians, now, come on. Think on these things. Rainbow around the throne. I know that I'm not taking enough time to break down every point, but I pray that you will take it home and read it. Study it. And see what's going on. That we're beginning to see ourselves and comprehend who we are. Let's stand together. What do we got? Number 188 in the spiral book. Anybody has a need, the altar's open.
Out from his glory.
Ever-living story, our God. Anybody have a need? And Jesus was his name, born in a manger, on a stranger. Think about it. He made a way that we could sit on that throne with him. I love you. Do you? Adore my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator. My Savior, and all of that. Anybody have a need? Redemption, bringing up redemption. That in the day. I wish I had a voice like Brother Orr had to be able to sing that. Most of you remember him. He could really sing this song. Tender, laid aside his way. To me, to save my soul.
Pray
for Brother Orr and his family and all of them. All the children and things. It'll come on his heart. So let's think about him and pray, right? Lord Jesus, Brother Orr used to walk with us. His family and all, Lord. We don't even know where he's at now and what he's doing. We've heard he's going to church, and we hope so. But we just ask you to reach down and touch him and the family. Unite them together in love in you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Anybody else that just have a need?
Sacrifice of Calvary.
Lord Jesus, our brother had a couple of falls. And we just ask you to help him and touch him. And Lord, because we know that we get hurt and have problems. We need help sometimes to pray over our problems because our hurting is too much. So just help our brother, Lord. Touch him in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Oh. Children dwelling in him.
Just think about him. He came all the way from glory to earth to make a way for you and I to be able to go from earth to glory. What a wonderful God and Savior he is. His name is Jesus.
Brother Brown said, when you begin to see seeing the words, he said, you're seeing Jesus. You're seeing Jesus. See, that way you're just not using the vain words of calling his name. You're knowing who you're talking to. Right. Jesus, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us who we are and directing us in understanding of who we are and what we're doing here. We're here to defeat Satan with the word, to stand up on thy word and proclaim it, and to walk therein. We love you, Father, and we thank you. Be with the people and be with everybody, Lord. Take care of everybody and be with us this afternoon in the service. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.